Okay, today's daf is Shabbos daf Gimel. We are holding on daf Beis Amud Beis. We're a couple of lines from the end of the page on daf Beis Amud Beis. We are at the two dots. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It is also sponsored by Shaki Klar, the Zeichen Nishmas Yanti Bes Avram, and we thank Shaki Klar for all of the sponsorships, and it should be Gevaldik Zichus for the neshama of his mother. And it is also sponsored by Josh Gottesman in honor of his father, Dr. David Gottesman, his father-in-law, Mitchell Spiro, and his nephew, Natan Rassman, all being Messiah, Meseches, Brachos, Mazel Tov to them on the Siyum. So we are holding again at the two dots on Daf Beis and Beis, and we were discussing the Mishnah that spoke about the case of the Ani and the Balabayis being Motzi Mirushus L'Rushus. So the Gemara is going to say, you know, the Mishnah had said that Ishtai Shein Arba, that we had Shtayim Shein Arba twice, Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim and Shtayim Shein Arba Bechutz, which makes a total of eight. But if you actually count up how many different Chiyuvim and Peturim there are in the Mishnah, it's 12 or perhaps even 16. So why is it that we only mention eight of them in the Mishnah? Then the Gemara is going to talk about if two people combine to do a Malacha together, so why it is that they're both putter. Why isn't it that we say that at least one of them should be chayiv? Because at the end of the day, a malacha was done. Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether akiras gufo is considered an akira. Remember, for hotza'a, you have to have an akira, a transference of some sort, and a hanacha. What if a person didn't actually lift something off the ground, but someone piled something on his back, and then he started walking? So is the beginning to walk, is that considered an akira? So we're going to discuss akiras gufo. And then the Gemara is going to discuss whether a yad has a din of a karmelis, where the chacham goes there, that your hand has the status of a karmelis, which would mean that if a person takes something in his hand and he puts his hand into another rishus, that he would have to leave it there for the rest of Shabbos. If it has a din of a karmelis, he would not be able to be machnes it back to wherever his body is, because a karmelis, there are four rishus of Shabbos, and a karmelis is a rishus midrabanan that you're not allowed to carry from a Carmelist to Rosh Hashanah Yachid, nor from a Carmelist to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So if a Yad has the din of a Carmelist, it would be a Gevaldik Chumra. It would mean that if he sticks his hand into another Rosh Hashanah, he has to leave it that way for the remainder of Shabbos. And then on the Gemara is going to have six different explanations for a Machlokes Tanaim, whether a person who stuck his laden hand into a different Rosh Hashanah can actually pull his hand back or not. One of the explanations is that they're arguing whether a Yad has a din of a karmelis, but we're going to have five alternate explanations of what that machlokas tanaim might in fact be about. So let's begin the Gemara again at the two dots on daf beis and beis. So we had mentioned in the Mishnah, Yitzios HaShabbos are Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim and Shtayim Shein Arba Bechutz, that there are eight different chiyuvim and peturim when it comes to something being transferred from a guy inside the house to a guy outside the house. So says the Gemara, Amar Lei, Rav Masan Labaye, Rav Masan says to Abaye, Hatamni Avyan, you think it's only eight? Tartisrei Havyan, you actually have 12 different Chiyuvim and Peturim, because aside from the four cases of Chiyuv at the beginning of the Mishnah, meaning the two cases where the Ani could be Chayiv, the Ani could be Chayiv if he's Machnis into the house, the Ani could be Chayiv if he's Motzi from the house. So, and there are two chiyuvim of the Balabais. The Balabais could be chayiv if he's motzi from the house, or if he's machnes into the house. But we also had cases where the Balabais does the akira, the ani does the hanacha for hotza'a, and the ani doing the akira, the Balabais doing the hanacha for hachnasa. But in each of those cases, you have both the Balabais and the ani both being pater. So shouldn't we count up, shouldn't it add up to 12 cases and not only to 8 cases? So says the Gemara, ulutaymeich, but if you're going to actually count every possible situation of anybody being involved on any level, then shitzurei havyan, you actually have 16 cases. Because in the two cases of chiyuv, meaning in the case where the balabayis is going to be chayiv for doing both the akira and the hanacha, the ani is pater. Why doesn't that count in the numbers? The fact that the ani is pater, we're counting the case, the chiv of the balabayis, why don't we count the patur of the ani as well? Or in the case where the ani is chayv, why don't we count the patur of the balabayis? So that would add an additional four Peturim to our Cheshbin. It would turn out that there are 16 Peturim. In the Pesach Inayim, one of the Acharim just points out a technicality over here, that if you know the history of the generations of Amoraim, it seems strange that Rav Masna would say anything to Abaye, because Rav Masna was a Talmud of Rav. So he was generations before Abaye. He wouldn't be asking anything to Abaye. He says it must be that the Girsa should have been Rav Adabar Masna, that there must be some sort of Girsa problem, that it shouldn't be Rav Masna. Okay, but we have it as Rav Masna. So anyway, so he's asking, why is it that we only list 8? Why isn't it that we list 12? And Abaye responded, well, once you go in there, you might as well list 16. So Amar Lei, so Rav Masna, according to our Girsa, says back to Abaye, hello, Kasha. No, you can't ask about 16. Bishlam, I understand why we're not going to list the Peturim. Baba Duresha, Patur Mutur, Lo Katani. In the first part of the Resha, where we're talking about the Balabais does everything, and therefore the Ani is totally Patur, it's not only Patur, it's totally Mutur. He's not doing anything. He's not doing Akira, nor a Hanacha. So that's not going to get mentioned. We're not going to talk about such a thing. Or if the Ani does everything and the Balabais is totally Mutur, his Mamish doing nothing, so we're not going to discuss such a case. Patur Mutur Lo Katani. The Tana is not going to talk about cases where it's actually Mutur even L'Chachila to do what you're doing. Above the Seifa, but in the four cases in the second part of the Mishnah, when the Ani does the Akira and the Balabais does the Hanacha, or the Balabais does the Akira and the Ani does the Hanacha, the Pater Aval Aser, where the other party is also Pater Aval Aser. So Kasha, that we have a good Kasha, why we don't list those cases, because in those cases, both the Ani and the Balabais are Pater Aval Aser. So they both should have been added to the Cheshbon of the number of Peturim in the Mishnah. If we have four different cases where you're going to have an Ani and a Balabais, each be Pater Mutter, that's 8 Peturim. Each be Pater Aval Aser, rather, that's 8 Peturim. Because in each case, it's both the Balabais and the Ani being Pater Aval Aser. So we're back to that Kasha. Why is it that we don't have 12 examples in the Mishnah? Why is it that the Mishnah only lists 8? So that's the Gemara's Kasha. Just to point out over here, the Gemara says that we're not going to list the cases of Patur Mutter, that the Balabais does the Akira and the Hanacha, so whatever the Ani did is totally Mutter. Or the Ani does the Akira and the Hanacha, whatever the Balabais did is totally Mutter. Asks Tosus on the top, totally mutter? V'ka'avar alifnei iver lo siten michshal. Wait a second, that's not totally mutter. You are aiding another Jew in doing an Avera that he's chayv midaraisa for. And to aid another Jew in doing an Avera is a violation of the Yisr of lifnei iver. And he says, v'afilu mayri sheyachal litlo afilu lo abiyado de lo av misham lifnei iver de moshe kos yayin lazi mukle parakam saks of odzara de koi betray avri narim mikol makom isidraban mia ika shechayv lafrisho mi Yisr. And even if you're going to tell me, says Tosos, that no, it's not Lifnei Iver, because we're talking about a case where, let's say, the Balabais does the Akira and the Hanacha, and he puts it in the Ani's hand. If the Ani wasn't there, the Balabais could have done the same thing and just put it on the floor in the Rishus HaRabim, and he also would have been Chayiv. So the Ani didn't enable the Balabais to do the Yisr, so then it wouldn't be Lifnei Iver. Says Tosos, it's still not Motir. You're not allowed to participate in another Jew doing an Avera. That's an Isra Midrabanan called Misayeya. So how can the Gemara say that this is considered a case of Pater Umutter? It's a violation of Misayeya. The Rush over here just adds, he says, how do I know that there's such an Isser called Misayeya? He says, because Afilu Katan Ochel Nevelis L'Teyavon based in Mitzuvah Na'afrisho. Because the halacha is that even if a Katan is eating Nevelos, Beizdin has to stop him from eating the Nevelos. So Kolshkin Gadol Shlo Yisayeya Lo, so if you have to stop someone who's doing an Avera, of course you're not allowed to help someone to do an Avera, and that's the source for the idea that there's an Isser called Misayeya. So the Maritz Chayis in the back of the Gemara just points out, he says, the Rambam, Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvos Se Reish He, writes that, no, why is there an Isser Misayeya? Because there's a Mitzvah Daraisa of Hochech Tochiach. that if when you see someone doing an Aveira, you have a mitzvah to reprimand him for that Aveira, so obviously you're not allowed to participate in the Aveira, that you're not allowed to aid him in the Aveira, even if he could do it without you. So it's really based on the Din Doraisa, not based on the Mitzvah Lafrisha by Katan Ochel Neveil, that's a Din Darabanan, but it's really based on the Din Doraisa. It's in the Torah, and the Maritz Chayis also points out that the Rush's makar is strange, because the Rush says, oh, you know what my raya is? Because Bezim Mitzvah, when the Katan eats Neveil, says, hey, I'm Bezim Mitzvah Lafrisha, says the Maritz Chayis, we don't pass that way. We pass in Ain Bezin Mitzvah Lafrisha. That Bezin does not have to stop him from the Katan from eating the Velos. So if you paskin Ain Bezin Mitzvah Lafrisha, then how could that possibly be a source for the Isser of Misayeya? But anyway, Tosas Kasha still stands. Whatever the source for the Isser of Misayeya is, there is such an Isser. You're not allowed to participate and help another person do an Avera. So why is it that we're just assuming that it's totally mutter, that everything is fine? So Tosas says, oh, maybe it's a guy. Vafili married bin Nachri, Zelo Shayach Lifnei Iv. He says, still mu isra midrabanan, it would still be an isra midrabanan. That's a tricky line of Tosos. Tosos says that even if we're a guy where there's no lifnei iver, that's not true in the sense that there is. It's inaccurate to say that there is no lifnei iver by goyim. It's accurate to say that there's no lifnei iver in causing a guy to be mechalal Shabbos, because a guy is not mitzvah in Shabbos. But to cause a guy to do an avera that a guy is not allowed to do, that for sure there's lifnei iver. That's a beferish gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah. The gemara says minayin that it's aser to be moshit kos yayin lenazir or aver minachai leben noach. That's the example the gemara gives of lifnei iver. How do I know you're not allowed to give a kos yayin to a nazir or aver minachai to ben noach? Shenemar lifnei iver lo sitin. So clearly there is an issur of lifnei iver by a guy. It means as far as Yisurei Shabbos are concerned, there's not going to be lifnei iver by a guy. So that's what Tosos suggests, that it has to be that it's a guy over here, and there's no issur to be misayeya lahotzi lahachnis if it's a guy, right? That's what Tosos ultimately settles on, even though originally he rejects the possibility. At the very end, he says, Yeshlom demayri binachri v'chefet shal nachri. And the object also belongs to the Nachri. Tafilu machnes mosi kalayom ein kaniser klal kibin shein a chefet shel balabayis. That there's no iser at all because the chefet belongs to the Nachri and not to the and not the Jew. So that's what Tosas says. That's why it's not even an iser misayeya. Now the Tosas Harash adds that according to what it says in the Mishnah that the motzi is chayiv. That means meaning how could we say then that what was the case? We said that that you're not in violation of lifnei iver, you're not in violation of anything. You're not in violation of Melech HaShabbos because you didn't do anything. You didn't do the Akira, you didn't do the Anacha, the other guy did everything. And it's not lifnei iver because that other guy is a guy. And in the case of the Mishnah, we said, and that other guy is Chayiv. So how could you say that other guy is Chayiv if that other guy is a guy? So the Tosfos Rosh says, no, what you have to say is that what the Mishnah means, if the other guy were a Jew, he would be chayiv for what he just did, for doing both the Akira and the Anacha. All of this, says the Rashba, is so convoluted. The way to read the Mishnah is that there's a guy on one side, and the Jew is totally mutter because it's a guy, but had the guy been a Jew, it would be chayiv. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. Says the Rashba, no, much simpler. It's a docha gadol to say that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Much simpler. When we say mutter, we mean mutter in Hilchos Shabbos. Of course there could be other isurim. We're not giving the guy a mitzvah award. It just means that he's mutter in Hilchos Shabbos. He's not violating Gotzah of Shabbos. He's violating something else. He's violating lifnei iver by helping someone else do the isur of Gotzah of Shabbos, which is a big discussion in Achronim. Is that called mutter in Hilchos Shabbos? What is the isur of lifnei iver? Is the isur of lifnei iver an isur klali or an isur prati? Do we assume that when I enable somebody to do Melech HaShabbos, do we view it as if I participated in Melech HaShabbos, my violation is therefore a Shabbos violation? Or do we assume, no, that there's a separate issur called lifnei iver, nothing to do with Shabbos. And whatever I helped the other guy do, I could have helped him do Avodah Zarah, that may be Mesis, but I could have helped him do whatever, Chil Shabbos, or wearing Shatnez, or anything, it's all the same. I violated lifnei iver, a totally separate issur. Tulsa seems to be, I mean, the Rashba rather, seems to be assuming like the second side, that when you do Lifneiver, it's Lifneiver. It's not a Shabbos related issue. Now, if Kamina would be, there's an Emuna Shmuel that the Achorim like to quote, that if I there's Machlok's Balamara and Ramban, the Emuna Shmuel puts that if I help someone violate one of the big three, Avod Zor Gilarai Shvichus Damim, is it Yahorig Val Yavar to do Lifneiver on one of the big three? So if you say that what I'm violating is a is a separate issue called Lifneiver. Lifneiver is not Yaharik Val Yavar. But if you say that I'm getting a chelek of whatever Averi he's doing, well then that's Yaharik Val Yavar. Even in Abizrayu, that would be Yaharik Val Yavar. But anyway, the Rashba seems to assume that we're saying that you have no Isser Shabbos over here, but you might have other Isurim. So the Mainaf Kamina, whether you have Isser Shabbos or you have other Isurim, either way, it's Aser. So Rabbi Kivegar says it's Chapsa Big Naf Kamina. Rabbi Kivegar writes that there's a big Chiddush by saying that there's no Isser Shabbos, because the Mumar L'Chal Shabbos, even on an Isser Drabanan, is a Mumar L'Chal Torah Kula. He would have a status of a Mumar L'Chal Torah Kula. But if he's not a Mumar L'Chal Shabbos, he's only a Mumar to violate Lifnei Iver, then he's not a Mumar L'Chal Torah Kula. So it would chap a big enough Kamina by saying that he's only a... that he's only in violation of some other Isser. Anyway, so we're back to the Gemara's Kasha over here. Now, why is it that we list only 8 cases of Piturim and Chiyuvim in the Mishnah? There really should have been 12. So says Gemara, wait a second. The Hava Amina that there should have been 16 was that even those that are totally Mutter are included in the Piturim. So says Gemara, Mi'ikah B'kulei Shabbos, do we have anywhere in all of Masechta Shabbos that Pater U'Mutter, that the word Pater means that something's actually mutter? Va'amar Shmuel kol piturim the Shabbos. Shmuel told us that any time it says in all of Shabbos the word pater avalaser, it always means pater avalaser midrabanan, meaning that we should get used to that language. The word pater in Hilchos Shabbos does not mean that it's okay. The word pater in Hilchos Shabbos means that it's aser midrabanan. You're just not going to be chayv achatos. You're not going to be chayv kares. You're not going to be chayv the normal chiyuvim that you have for violating a daraisa. Bar mehanitlas, with only 3 exceptions to pater or mutter, where the word pater actually means mutter. And what are the 3 exceptions? So exception number 1, seidas tzvi. We're going to have a mishnah later on, in daf kuf vavam and beis, that if a deer walks into your house, and one guy sits by the doorway of the house, blocking the deer in a way that it's unable to get out, he is chayiv mishum tzeda. What if another guy then also blocks the doorway? The doorway's already blocked. But a second guy sits down and blocks the doorway, even if afterwards the first guy gets up and moves, and now only the second guy is blocking the doorway, hasheni pater. The second guy is pater. In that case, not only pater, mutter. Because when he sat down, he did not violate trapping the deer. It was already trapped when he sat down, and he's allowed to stay where he is. He didn't do anything wrong by just staying where he is, even after the first guy got up. That is example number 1, where the word pater in the Mishnah actually means pater u'mutter. The second example, v'tseidas nachash, a Mishnah in the second parak of Maseches Eduyos, that talks about trapping a nachash on Shabbos, a snake, in order to protect yourself, that it shouldn't bite you. And when we say that it's pater, if you trap a snake, it doesn't only mean pater, it means that it's mutter to do so. Tulsa points out we're clearly not talking about a snake. That's pikuach nefesh, right? Like we had in Mesechta Brachos, the nachash karuch al hakevo. We're not talking about a snake that could kill you, because that's pikuach nefesh. That there's nothing to talk about. We're talking about it's just going to hurt you. It's going to bother you. So for to trap it in order that it shouldn't bite you, that is mutter. Normally the melach of tzeda is that you trap something because you want it. You want the item that you're trapping. So when you're trapping something in order that it shouldn't bite you, that's what we would call a malach hashem sricha legufa, that you're that which is asa midrabanan normally to do a malach hashem sricha legufa. But b'makom tsar, it's heter gamur. So you're doing a malach hashem sricha legufa, but to protect yourself from pain, so that's heter gamur. That's what the Gemara is going to explain on daf kuf zayin and beis, that that's like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon that holds that a malach hashem sricha legufa is only asa midrabanan, and therefore b'makom tsar it's going to be mutter. And the Gemara is going to prove that it's mutter l'chachila from the fact that they're matir to put a kli on top of an akrav and on top of a scorpion in order that it shouldn't damage you. And even though it's by definition you're trapping it by putting a kli over it, the Tosos also points out that Shmuel himself actually holds that emlach shein tzricha legufa as asmi daraisa, like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, not like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. But Shmuel is explaining the Mishnah to be going within Shitas Rabbi Shimon. This is Nogea Lamaisa. A lot of times on Sukkot, right, there are bees in the Sukkah, so people want to trap the bee. So there's an argument to be made that if you're trapping a bee, not because you're interested in keeping pet bees, but because you're terrified of getting stung by the bee, that's a melach shen shlicha l'gufa, b'makom tsar, and would fit into that Mishnah of mutter. So some say, nah, bee bite, come on, it's not so painful, it's not such a big deal. Nachash is like really big. So for someone who's allergic to bee bites, well then for sure, right, it would fit into that category. And the third is mapis morsa, is the third case where we have the word potter, but it really means potter or mutter, is if a person opens up a wound on Shabbos to drain the wound, that's pater or mutter. So you see that only these three Mishnayos is pater or mutter. Why is Mepis Morsa, Tos points out that the Mishnah says in Sech Seduyos that im lasel slapeh chayiv im osim men alecha pater, that if your intention is to make an opening in your face, that's a violation of bona and you're going to be chayiv. But if you're just trying to drain the pus from the wound, then you're going to be potter. So says Tosos, wait a second. In order to make to be chayiv for making an opening, the opening has to be lahachnis ulahotzi. The opening has to be made in order to have something come out of it and come into it. But if you're making this opening, you're just trying to make the opening to have the pus come out. What exactly are you trying to bring into the opening? So v'tirus rabbeinu tam dainami yasi lahachnis avir ulahotzi lecha. You want air to get in there, so it's considered an opening. That's lahachnis ulahotzi. Okay, leaving aside what these three examples are, the exceptions prove the rule. From the fact that we have only three cases where the word pater means pater umutter, it must be that every other case where we have pater, it means that it's pater aval aser. So in our Mishnah, if one person is motzi and the second guy did nothing, the second guy is pater, but Rav Maslin assumes that means it's totally mutter. If the first guy did everything, if the balabais did both the akira and the anacha, and we're saying the ani is pater, how can you tell me that it means the ani is totally mutter? It's not one of the three examples. So answers the Gemara, you cannot learn from Shmuel's statement that there are only three exceptions. Ki yisrich le Shmuel peturi de kavin maisa. Peturi de kavin maisa ikatuva. No, Shmuel is trying to tell us the three cases where the word pater means pater umutter, even though you did something, even though you did a maisa, in cases where you didn't do a maisa biyadayim, then there are lots of cases where it's even mutter lechatchila, like the four cases in the beginning of our Mishnah. If the balabais did both the akira and the hanacha, the ani is pater. Ooh, mutter! If the ani did both the akira and the hanacha, the balabais is pater. Ooh, mutter! Because he mamish did nothing. But anyway, bottom line is mikam lakum tartis rehavim. So we're not going to count those four peturim that are pater or mutter. But still, there should have been 12 cases of chiyuv and pater avalaser. Four cases of chiyuv: the balabais doing hotzah, the balabais doing achnasa, the ani doing hotzah, the ani doing achnasa. And eight cases of pater on either side of Hotzah and Achnasa of the Balabayas and the Ani, each one sticking his hand out, sticking his hand in. So in each of those cases, we should have accounted for them in the Mishnah. I mean, this whole question is not a halacha question. It's an accounting question, right? Which is like, how do we list the numbers in the Mishnah? There's no question what the halacha is. In both cases, they're, in all the cases, it's pater avlaser. So says Gemara, yeah, but as far as accounting is concerned, peturi das v'ludei chiv chatos kachashiv. Das v'ludei chiv chatos lo kachashiv. We're only going to count toward the cheshbon in the Mishnah those peturim that have the potential to lead to a chiv chatos. Meaning, if you did only an akira, when you did only an akira, that makes us very nervous. Because once you did an akira, you might do a hanacha. So it could be in the end of the day you didn't, but that's a case of pater that we're going to list in the Mishnah as pater avalaser. Now it's true, if you did only a hanacha, it's also pater avalaser, but that's not going to merit mention in the Mishnah. Why is it not going to merit mention in the Mishnah? Because it's not as serious of a derabanan, because there's no real chashash that you'll come to violate the daraisa. If you only did a hanacha, you can't then do an akira, right? The akira was already done, so that's why it doesn't get mentioned in the Mishnah. So ask the Gemara, how could it be that malach that's done by two people, shnei and peturin, that they're both pater, meaning everyone's going to be pater. If let's say the balabais does the akira and the ani does the hanacha, so they're both pater avalaser. But savida malach mi binayu, at the end of the day, between the two of them, a malach was done. How could they both be pater if a malach was done? What do we want? Who should be chayiv? Meaning if neither of them did, an akira and an anacha. So Tosfos points out that the Gemara can't be saying that the guy should be, first guy should be chayiv a karban because he didn't complete the malacha, and it doesn't make sense for me to be chayiv for what somebody else completed. So what Tos suggests, that it must be that the suggestion of the Gemara is that that it's nikra al shem gomra, that the guy who finished the malacha should be chayiv because he knew what he was doing. Meaning the first guy didn't know if the malacha was ever going to be done. All he did is an akira. So I don't know if the other guy is going to do the hanacha. Second guy knows that an akira already happened, and yet he still goes ahead and does a hanacha. So that's Tos points out. That's what the Gemara is asking. How could we say pater in such a case? The guy should be chayiv. A malach is getting done, and it's getting done because you're finishing it. You're making it happen. So Tanya, Rebbe Omer, me ama aretz ba'asosa ha'osa eskula v'lo ha'osa es miktsasa yachid va'asa osa chayiv shnayim va'asa osa p'turin. A klal gadol in Melech Shabbos. Rebbe says we learn from the pasuk. The pasuk says v'nefesh achas techta b'shkaga me am ha'aretz ba'asosa. Then you bring a karban. That when do you bring a karban? Only when you are osa eskula, when you do the entire malacha. But if you do only part of the malacha, you do only part of the avera, then you're not going to be chayiv. Only if an individual single-handedly does the entire avera. But this teaches us an important klal called shnayim shasu'uha, that if two people combine to do a malacha, both of them are going to be pater. Now, this case happens to be that we've been discussing is, how do they split the malacha? Each guy does a different part of the malacha. And we say, in that case, you're going to be pater. But be'emes, even if two people do the malacha simultaneously, they're both going to be pater. We're going to see that later on Daf Tzadi Gimel. And that's the chara greater chiddush, meaning, if two atzala guys turn on the ambulance by turning the key together, by both holding the key and turning the key together. So it's not that they're splitting, the malacha. They're doing the malacha simultaneously. That's also shnayim shasu'uha. And that's also only going to be Potter, it's not going to be chayiv, it's not going to be a malacha. So it's even a greater chiddush than what the Gemara is letting us in on over here. Itmar Nami, and we have a riot to this idea that Amru b'chia bar Gamda nizruka mipi chabura va'amru, that the chevra, the chabura, got together and they said va'asosa yachid shasa chayiv shnayim shasua peturin. That we learn from there that if a yachid does it, you're chayiv, but if shnayim asua, then you're potter. It's a little bit odd to have an Itmar Nami, meaning we just quoted a Tanya, we quoted a Braisa. So we say, an Itmar Nami, not only did the Tanoim say it, but the Amoraim said it also. That's there's an expression, Yehuda v'od l'kra. The Gemara says that Rav Yehuda said, I'll bring a raya to something that already says in the Pasuk, meaning I also say. So the Gemara says, Yehuda can't be, or the Gemara says, not only did the Pasuk say it, v'od, Rav Yehuda also said it. Rav Yehuda's an of an ode to what's already in the pasuk. It's I don't need any further proof once I already have a pasuk. So what's the further raya from Amoraim over here? So if you look at Tosas Tema, the Maisi Siatim Shmaita Lebraisa of Parakam the Kedushin Parach Yehuda v'od l'kra. Can Yehuda be of an ode to a pasuk? V'yeshlomer did Nizukam v'pi Chabura dekamer Haynu Chabura shel Tanoim. When it says Nizukam v'pi Chabura, it means a group of Tanoim. V'ritir is mishum debraisa d'lal lomasi be Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Yoshia, that maybe that the brisa that we quoted was not one of the more authoritative brisas, and if it's a less authoritative brisa, then maybe the Amoraim, meaning not every time you have something from a later generation is it necessarily less authoritative just because it comes from a later generation. Rosh Hashanah comments all the time that they find all these writings from the Tkufa of Rishonim. Some of them are Amaratzos. Some they were Amaratzim in the times of the Rishonim also, just like we are Zochet Amaratzim in our generation, who still write books. It doesn't stop anybody. I wrote a couple, right? We have plenty of Amaratzim in our generation writing books. So there are Amaratzim in the times of the Rishonim. Just because you lived in a certain Tkufa doesn't make you a Rishon, right? One of my Rebbeim of Silver from Karen Avner once said to us, he said, do you really think that some Kisvei Chach whatever is more valuable than a ktsais? What? Because the ktsais is an achron, it's more valuable than a ktsais? Not necessarily. So if you have a brisa, but it's not an authoritative brisa, so I don't know that I'm convinced. But itmar nami. But if all the amoraim said so, and these are reputable amoraim, so it's maybe more valuable than less reputable tanoim. Okay, that's another mahalik in terms of why we have an itmar nami over here. We do have a concept also sometimes that we'll say something from less authoritative sources after, meaning to say va'od, the Gemara has a problem with. I saw one of the Akronim says this, but if you don't say va'od, like sometimes you have something that's mefurish b'Torah and shanei b'neviim and meshulish b'ksuvim, that you have something that it says it in the Chumash and again in the Neviim and again in the Ksuvim. Well, why do the Neviim and the Ksuvim have told to me if it already says it in the Chumash? But no, that strengthens it. It becomes the chuta meshulish. It strengthens it, the fact that it keeps coming up over and over again. It's just using the word va'od that the Gemara and Kiddushin takes exception to. But if you don't use the word va'od, maybe in it marnami is perfectly fine. Okay, so now the Gemara discusses the following. Ba'imine Rav me Rebbe. Rav asked the following shayla from Rebbe. A person is standing on Shabbos in the Rishus HaYachid, and hit'ino chavero ochlin umashkin. He doesn't pick up anything. Someone else picks up food and drink and puts it on your back. He was not oker his own hands to pick anything up. Votzi on the chutz, but then he walks outside with this backpack on him. Someone else loads him up with a backpack, and he walks outside with it. Mahu, what's the halacha of that fellow who walked outside? Is he chayiv chatas? Did he do an akira and a hanacha? Meaning, akira skufa ka akira schefetz mimakamudami? Do we assume that lifting up his body is like lifting up the object from where it was, umichayiv, and therefore he's going to be chayiv? Odomalo. Or maybe akira saguf from where he was standing is not considered to be lifting up the object, and therefore he's going to be potter, because he did a hanacha without an akira. So amalei, so Rebbe said to Rav, chayiv, he's going to be chayiv. Akiras gufo is considered akiras chayfetz. And Rabbi adds, even though we learned in our Mishnah, that if the Baal HaBayis puts the object into the yad of the ani that's extended inside his house, the ani is pater if he's motzi at lechutz, because the ani didn't do the akira. So we see that akira's yad is not called an akira. The Baal HaBayis loaded the hand of the ani while it was in his house, and the ani's still going to be pater. The Baal HaBayis did the akira. It's not like your hand. Your body is not like your hand. My time up, gufo naich, yado lo naich. Your body is in a resting position when someone loaded it up in the Rishus HaYachid, and therefore when you moved your body from a resting position to a non-resting position by moving, that's an akira. But your hand is not munach al gabi karka. Your hand is in the air, and therefore putting an object on the hand is not like putting an object on the ground. So the person taking his yad from the inside of the house to the outside of the house is not considered an akira of the chayfetz from a Rishus HaYachid to the Rishus Rabin. So that's why he's going to be potter. It's not considered that he did both an akira and a hanacha. So Amalei Rav Chiya L'Rav Bar Pachsi. So he says, Bar Pachsi, which is... Ben Gedolim, he's saying that you're Rashi says it means you're a Ben Gedolim. Rav Kiveg explains it's the lashon of Zerubbabel Pachas Yehuda, meaning it's a Moshel, a Shalit, someone who's so Pachsi we think of Pachos, but Pachas actually means someone who's like an officer, someone who's an important person. So Ben of a Talmud Chacham, someone who's an important person. Lo Aminalach, didn't I tell you Kikai Rebbe Bahamasechta? When Rebbe is in one Masechta, Lo Tishayli B'Masechta Achrita. You're not supposed to ask him about other mesechtas. Maybe he's not going to holding in that mesechta, and he's going to be embarrassed. Had it not been that Rebbe was such an Adam Gadol, kasafta, you would have embarrassed him. Because he would have given you some sort of teretz. It's not really a good teretz. And Hashem, it happens to be you got lucky that Rebbe gave you a good teretz. But you're not supposed to ask questions that are not me'inyan of the limud. That's what some of the Rishonim explained. There's a stira from the very end of Maseches Megillah. Some people are finishing Megillah now in honor of Purim. The very end of Maseches Megillah, so it says that that you're supposed to be shol binyano shel yom on the yom, right? You're supposed to hilchus Pesach bePesach, hilchus Atzeres bAtzeres. Yet in the beginning of Maseches Pesachim, it says that you're supposed to be shol v'darshin shloshim yom kodem. So which is it? Is it on the day or is it shloshim yom kodem? So some of the Rishonim suggest that no, shloshim yom kodem is a din. The Ran writes is a din in shol ki'inyan, that if you ask a hilchus Pesach question starting tomorrow, that's called that you're shoel ke'inyan. You're not doing something wrong by asking a question that's totally off topic. But that's called shoel ke'inyan. But it doesn't mean that. But the chiyuv of actually learning the topic, that's only on the day. But it didn't in shoel. That's called shoel ke'inyan, and that's an important thing that you're supposed to be shoel ke'inyan. You're not supposed to ask totally off topic because it's very risky. The person may give you an answer that's not correct. Ditanya hayatol no'ch l'mashkin b'bod yom. It happens to you're your answer was correct, because we learned that if a person had a backpack on with food and drink in it before Shabbos started, and then he walked out on Shabbos with that backpack on, he's chayiv, because that's his, he's lifting up his whole body. It's not like his hand, which is in mid-air anyway. His body is actually resting on the ground. There's a discussion in the Achronim, what about asking in Hilcha Shabbos? In the Sefer Tel Oros, he brings from the Sefer Chasidim that it's a mitzvah to learn the Avos Melachos on Erev Shabbos in order that you don't forget which Melachos are Aser, just like you learn the Halachos of the Moadim Lefnei HaMoadim. And he says, and that's why we say Bam Madikin on Erev Shabbos, to get involved in the learning of the Halachos of Shabbos. That's why Bam Madikin should be said at a pace that you can actually understand what you're saying. Meaning the whole inyan of Bam Madikin is that it's Lima Torah, that you're learning the Mishnayos. So if you're just saying, everything should be said at a pace that you understand what you're saying. But I'm saying if you're just saying the words and you don't even, and you can't process the halachos that you're reading, so then it's really a waste of time. It's not a tefillah, Bam Madikin. Bam Madikin is, at least if you're only Lefnei HaMakom and you don't understand the words, you're at least engaged in tefillah. But in Talmud Torah, you're just reading Mishnayos and you don't understand anything that you're saying, so then it's not, it's of no value at all. But anyway, a lot of the Achronim say that you're always allowed to ask Hilcha Shabbos questions. Hilcha Shabbos is always called Shoel Ke'inyan, because everyone is always supposed to be holding in Hilcha Shabbos. Those are the most common questions that we have. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank writes in Har Tzvi in Archaim Chelik Beis Min Yeralev that this idea of Shoel Ke'inyan is not that you can get the wrong answer, it's that if you ask for explanation, he might not be able to give you a good explanation. If the issue were about getting the wrong answer, the Gemara Shemitah said, oh, and maybe you're going to embarrass him. Forget about embarrassing him. You can get the wrong answer. It's going to be a big michshal. No, the issue is not about the wrong answer. The issue is that that he's just not going to be able to be mazbir. That's what they said. Chaznish never wrote tshuvas, because when you get a tshuva, when you're writing a tshuva, you're not necessarily holding in that topic. The shoel is setting the agenda, but the chaznish wrote a sefer when he was learning something. When he's in the inyan, he felt that he was able to explain things and to really have a shita that meant something. So anyway, Amar Abay pshitli yada shel adam. A person's hand doesn't have the status of Rishus Rabbim, nor the status of Rishus Yachid. Rishus Rabbim lo damya miyada da'ani. We know it's not like Rishus Rabbim from the halacha of the ani who's standing in the Rishus Rabbim and he sticks his hand into his full hand, his laden hand into the Rishus Yachid, that if the Baal Bais takes it from there and puts it down, he's potter. It's not considered that the Baal Bais is okay with Rishus Rabbim. Rishus Yachid lo damya miyada da'al Bais. And we know that it's not Rishus Yachid from the halacha of the Baal Bais who's in the Rosh Hashanah, sticks his laden hand into a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, that if the Ani takes from it, he's potter. So, Bayabai, Yadu Shalada, Mal Shatasik, Karmelis. Does a person's hand become like a Karmelis? Mikan Sura Rabbanan, Laduri Lagabe, Olo. And what we're essentially asking is, if a person takes his laden hand and sticks it into another Rosh Hashanah, is he allowed to pull it back? Or do we assume that that's taking from a Karmelis into his, into wherever he's standing? So, Tashima says, well, let's bring a Raya. Your hand is full of Peros in Rosh Hashanah. And you stick your hand out into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, so Tani Chada Asr Lachzira, Tani Idach Mutzal Lachzira. It's a steer in braces. One says Mutter, one says Asr. So my love, Bahakam Ifli, aren't they arguing about this very issue? De Marsavar Kikarmelis Damya, Marsavar Lav Karmelis Damya. They're arguing about, and this is the first explanation of what this Machlok is about. We're going to have six of them, that whether it's like a Karmelis or not. Says, Malo, De Kuliyama Karmelis Damya. Everyone holds your hands as like a Karmelis. Velokasha, Kan the Matame Asara. The first price that says you're not allowed to bring your hand back is when your hand is within 3 feet of the ground. That within 10 tefachim of the karka, it's of the karka of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it's in the avir of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So the Chum made a knas that your hand is like a karmelis, so you can't bring it back. But kan lemalame asara, the brisa that allows you to bring it back is when it's more than 10 tefachim off the ground, where it's not considered, the place where the yad is not considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, so you didn't do an isra, so they didn't make a knas. Viva yasema, or it could be idi vidi lematame asara. Both brisa are talking about that it's within 10 tefachim of the ground. And your hand is not like a karmelis. Lokasha, kan mi ba'od yom, kan mi shechashecha. The second brisa that allows you to put your hand back is where you stuck your hand out when it was not yet Shabbos, and you didn't bring and so you bring your hand back after Shabbos starts. The first brisa that asks is when you did the whole thing when it was already Shabbos. Mi ba'od yom lo kansur rabbanan. The rabbanan didn't make a knas to ask you to bring your hand back if you started this when it was ba'od yom. Says Gurara Adrabi Ibcha Mistavra Mibod Yom Di Shadilei. When it's Mibod Yom, that if you throw it from your hand into Rosh Hashanah after Shabbos started in order to lighten your burden, so you won't have to sit there the entire Shabbos. Lost in the Chiyuv Chatos. You didn't do an Akira on Shabbos, it would never lead to a Chiyuv Chatos. Liknasur Rabbanan. So let the Chum be extra Machmir, because by being extra Machmir, if you can't stand it, you'll drop it, and you at least won't violate it as a Shabbos. Mishachashecha. But if it was after Shabbos already started, where the ishadile, if you throw it out of your hand, then you'll actually violate the chiyuv chatos. Lo liknasur rabbanan. The rabbanan should not make a knas on you. Umidulokam shanin hachi. From the fact that we didn't give that answer, tifshot Rabbi Barabai. We should be able to be poshet the shayla of Rabbi Barabai. The boy Rabbi Barabai hidvik pas betana. We'll discuss this a lot more tomorrow. If a person attaches dough onto an oven, hitiru lo l'redosa kodem sheyavol the chiyuv chatos. Alo hitiru. So there is an isra drabanan to remove bread from an oven. Let's say I put the dough in the oven. If I leave it there, I'm going to be chayv doraisa for baking on Shabbos. If I take it off, I'm violating an isra drabanan. Can I take it off before it bakes so that I don't violate the isra doraisa? So shouldn't we come to the conclusion that lo hitiru, that I'm not allowed to do it, it's usr, even though by not taking it down, I'm going to violate an isra chatos of ofa b'Shabbos. So says Mara, hello kasha tifshot. That's not a kasha. Yeah, in a chinami. From the fact that we say in this teretz that if you are motzi yado misha chashecha, the rabbanan said leave your hand out there, even if it might lead you to chiv chatas. So maybe yeah, in a chinami we see from there sometimes the rabbanan will lead you down a path where it might lead you to chiv chatas. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with Levi Yisema tomorrow. Oh, yeah.